for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he would give his only son to make this wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory.
Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders, and ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished.
I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms around me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares for me. Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. But I'll never know just why he came to save me, till someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me.
When we left Missouri to go to the mission field full-time back in 07, and we got there in Montana and got to the church there on the Crow Indian Reservation, there was no one to play the piano. There was a piano there. But no one to play it. And Joey said, "I think I can." And he never took a formal lesson. He taught himself how to play the piano. And he was our piano player the whole time we were there. And so it's a blessing. God works in lives that are just given to him. Amen. We just give our lives to him. Amen. He'll use us. Now, all of his children are picking up instruments. And playing for the glory of God. And what a blessing that is to us, and it's a blessing to the Lord, and to share those talents with God. And I don't play an instrument. I took a few lessons, piano lessons, when I was a kid, and boy, I wish I would have kept it up. But I'm thankful for all that God has done for our family and for us, and just for the ministry and for God's work. I'm just so grateful for God's blessing. All right, praise the Lord for the service so far. Let's ask God to help us now in the time of the message, that God would speak to our hearts. We're going to be in the book of 2 Samuel. We're going to start in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 6, please. 2 Samuel chapter 6, and if you would, when you find your place there, if you would stand in honor and reverence of God's word. We're going to begin reading in verse number 1, 2 Samuel chapter 6. I'll read these verses, then I want to pray and ask God to help as we move through these thoughts. 2 Samuel chapter 6, and I'll begin reading in verse number 1 if you'll follow along with me in the Word of God. The Bible says this: "Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah. And God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. And he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David. But David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, God, for the reading of your word. And I thank you, God, that we have your precious, holy, inspired, and preserved word in our hands today. What a miracle that is. And God, I pray now that you'd bless not only the reading, but the preaching of your word today, that you would receive all of the glory and all of the praise and all of the honor. God, simply use me as an instrument and as a vessel and as a mouthpiece for you, that you might proclaim your truth and your testimony, that we might be helped. And we will thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 You can be seated. I want to talk just a little bit today about when God comes home with you. When God comes home with you. Now we know that the Philistines had taken possession of the ark, and you can read in the previous chapters and verses about what happened to the Philistines when the ark of God was there. A lot of things went bad for them, and they said, we got to get rid of this thing. It's killing us. We got to get rid of this thing. And so they said, we're going to send it back. And they attempted to send it back, and they didn't send it empty. The king said, don't send that thing back empty. We're going to put some things in there. And send it back. We don't want the curse of this God upon us any longer. And you can read all these things. Things that happened to them while it was in different places there. And so they sent it back. And it landed here where we see here at the house of Abinadab. And David said, okay, it's time to go get the Ark of the Covenant. And we're going to bring it back home with us, so that we can have the presence of God. By the way, the Ark of the Covenant, that's where the presence, that was a type and picture and a place where the presence of God would come and sit upon that thing. And that's where His power showed itself. And so he says, we're going to go get it. And we see here that David tries to do a good thing or a right thing in the wrong way. And if we would go back, we could see that he tried to do it the same way that the Philistines took it. And it lays out for us, I believe it's in 1 Samuel, I'd have to go back and look. But when the Philistines took it back, they put it on a cart, towed by some oxen, and took it to where they wanted to take it. So David says, oh, it looks like that did all right for them. Let's try it that way. God did not say that they should carry it that way. The priests, they were supposed to pick the Ark of the Covenant up with staves and carry it and not touch the Ark, but carry it by the staves. And they were to carry it by hand. And they were to go so far, and then they would worship and all those things. And David said, well, it would be more expedient. It would be quicker and easier if we just put it on a cart. It worked out well for them. It should work out well for us. We'll just put it on a cart and have the animals pull it. It'd be a lot easier. And we'll get it back here quicker and all those things. And so he says, we're going to go do that. And so they put it on that cart. Well, it caused Uzzah to die, because God does not take His word and His commandments lightly. They were to do it the way that God told them to do it. And David made a mistake. He made a mistake. By the way, I'm going to throw something out here real quick. I might not be saying that he made a mistake, right? I've heard this said before, and I've heard stories about. This is just something that's been going through my mind lately. Well, I had a conversation with, I don't remember who it was, someone here, I believe, about the time that we spent on the reservation and the abuse and the things that went on there. And you know of people, maybe in your personal life, people that make decisions that hurt their family or other people. And that person might come back and ask for forgiveness and said, well, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Whether it was infidelity or something like that, I made a mistake. And I've thought about that a lot. And I don't know necessarily that that's really a mistake. A mistake is when you're typing on the computer and you hit S instead of A. You never intended to do that. It wasn't a conscious choice that you made. That's a mistake. You can go back and you can fix that very quickly. But in a case, in many cases, it's not a mistake. It's a choice. I made a conscious choice, a conscious decision to do this thing. That's not a mistake. A mistake is something that you're going along doing the best that you can and something just happens that you did not intend to do. That's a mistake. Many times in our lives, we make choices. David made a choice that day to disobey and dishonor God and to do a thing that was good in his own way. And it cost a man his life. God made a breach upon him. I think Uzzah split wide open because he touched the ark of God and God said that's not to happen. David made a choice that day. All right, that's quick sermon number one. David goes to bring the ark up. It's a good thing, but he decides to do it in a wrong way. He made a choice. So Uzzah dies at the hand of God by the ark, it says. The ark killed Uzzah. And of course, when that happens, they had to have a burial. They had to have a service. I know all those things had to happen. They couldn't take Uzzah with them. We don't see that, but we just have to imagine that they had to take care of that. And there was weeping and mourning, and then someone had to go, when they got back, they had to explain what happened and tell the family what happened, had to tell Miss Uzzah what happened to her husband, tell the little Uzzahs what happened to their dad. And David had to live with that. He made that choice. Now the Bible says that he was displeased. But he made that decision. And just like David, he had many choices in his life, many things that he chose the wrong thing. And we do too. But thank God we serve a God that will forgive us if we will come to him. It's not God's will that we sin, but the Bible does tell us if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We can go to God and ask for forgiveness and he will forgive us. And I believe David found that place of forgiveness. We read in Psalm 51, after his great sin, he called upon God and he said, Lord, forgive me, return unto me the joy of thy salvation, all of those things. I will sing and I will praise you unto the people if you'll just restore me. And God did. But we see here that they stopped what they were doing and David said, we've got to set this thing somewhere. There's no way I can take it home with me now. He was afraid of God. The Bible doesn't say that he feared God. The Bible said he was afraid of God that day. He was afraid of God. He was afraid to take this ark any further because of what it might do. And he took it over here to the house of Obed-Edom. Now, Obed means servant. And we know that Edom means red. But Obed means servant. And his mom and dad named him right. And we'll see that. We see that the ark of the Lord in verse number 11 continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. So for 3 months, for 90 days plus whatever, the ark of God, it appears that it's in his house. It says in the house of Obed-Edom. I don't think they put it out in the barn. They brought it in the house. And here's God's presence, the presence of God, the power of God. They had just seen the power of God. Now, I don't know that Obed-Edom was in on the move or that he saw what happened to Uzzah. I don't know any of that. But here he has the presence of God, the ark of God in his house. And what happens? God blesses all his household. He blesses all his household. And so for 3 months, I don't know exactly how it went, but for 3 months, we might imagine that everything Uzzah did, God blessed. It just says that God blessed the house of Uzzah. All his household, him and his wife and his children, if there were servants, the cattle, the farm, all of those things, God blessed enough that it was evident and it was different. So we see, first of all, that God blessed his home. For 90 days, things were different. While God's presence, while the ark of God was there, things were different. Things changed for Obed-Edom and his family. When God comes to your house, things change. When God comes home, things change. We've heard stories, and I have, and I'm sure you have too, heard stories about people who lived wicked, wicked lives, and maybe some here might have that sort of testimony. How drastic things changed when they got saved, and how their home changed when they got saved. Heard stories about men who were drunkards or dope addicts, and they would come home. I just heard a story the other day. I don't remember who it was now. I heard a story the other day that the children, when they heard the garage door open, when daddy came home at night, they'd run to the bedrooms and hide because they didn't know what daddy was going to do. But, and not in this story necessarily, but stories like that. Somewhere God got a hold of that man and that man got saved and now he comes home, the children don't have to hide anymore. And the wife doesn't have to hide anymore. Because God came into that home and things changed. I know preachers who have testimonies like that, how God completely changed their lives when God came into their home. So Obed-Edom now and his family are seeing the blessings of God for 90 days. So we see that God blesses his home. Then I want us to go over to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, please. Chapter 15. And we see this same story here in 1 Chronicles chapter 15. Actually, in verse number 13, I'll read this to you. It's again the same accounting and 1 Chronicles chapter 13 and verse 14, the Bible says, "And the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in the house 3 months, and the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had." Everything that Obed-Edom had, God blessed because the ark of God had come into the house. Then I want us to see in 1 Chronicles chapter 15, if we'll begin looking at verse number 11. Now, here's the scene. Oh, I skipped over in 2 Samuel. David finds out, back there in 2 Samuel, I believe it was chapter 7, maybe it's in later chapter 6. King David finds out. It's been come back to David now after 3 months. Someone comes and tells the king, "Hey, that ark's not so bad. Obed-Edom's house has been blessed now for 3 months. Everything that he has been blessed. His crops are just busting out the bins. His cattle are just reproducing. They're having twins and triplets side by side." Again, I'm just speculating. But God blessed everything that Obed-Edom had. And it comes back to David. And somebody tells David what's going on. He said, "Hey, we got to get the ark back here. In essence, we need God back home. We need God back where he's supposed to be." And so he goes down, and you can read in the following chapters there in 2 Samuel and again in First Chronicles, where David goes and he goes and he does a good thing in the right way. He takes the right people, they go down, they do it right, they carry the Ark of the Covenant like they're supposed to, they go so far, they sit it down and they worship and they sacrifice, they pick it back up, they go a little farther, they worship and they sacrifice, and they sing and they dance, and they come into the city now, and they bring the Ark of God home. Now, we're not told all the details of Obed-Edom's life, but if we can just think about it, the presence of God has been so real, so powerful in their home, in their lives for 3 months now. Now the Ark of God is gone. Now in these days, the Holy Spirit did not indwell the believer, right? Christ had not come yet. He has not sent His Comforter yet. He has not died on the cross yet. The Spirit of God does not indwell the believer. We can see in the life of people like, let's just say Samson or others, where the Spirit of God would come upon a person, endue them, not indwell them, but endue them and help them for a specific time, for a specific task, and then the Spirit of God would leave. He did not indwell believers then. And so now you have a time where here the presence of God, the power of God has been here, it's been real, it's been a blessing, they've gotten used to it, and now it's gone. Now it's left. And now I can just imagine, again, we don't have this story laid out for us, but I can just imagine Sister Obed looking at her husband and saying, what are we going to do now? So this family who has experienced and enjoyed the blessings of God, now what do we do? We don't want to go back to what it was before, right? When we get saved, I didn't want to go back to who I was. I didn't want to go back to what I had been when I got saved. I wanted the power of God. I wanted the presence of God in my life. Of course, now in our age, in the age of grace, we have the Spirit of God that comes and indwells us and lives there. But here they are. Daddy, what are we going to do? Imagine the children. What are we going to do now? Well, Obed-Edom made a choice. And if we go over to 1 Chronicles chapter 15, the Ark of God has now come back to the city. Things have been reestablished again. And we begin reading, and let's look in chapter 15. 1 Chronicles chapter 15. We're going to begin reading in verse number 11. And David called for Zadok and Abiathar the priests, and for the Levites, for Uriel and Azai and Joel, Shemaiah and Eliel and Aminadab, and said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. For because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. And the children of the Levites bare the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon, and as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord. That's the way they should have done it in the beginning. Verse 16, and David spoke unto the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be singers. All right, we got the ark of the ark of God coming back. We're going to need some people to sing. We're going to praise God, and we're going to lift up the name of Almighty God. We're going to need some people to sing. Then he says at the end of verse 16, lifting up their voices with joy. Verse 17, so the Levites appointed Heman, the son of Joel, and of his brethren, Asaph, the son of Berechai, and the sons of Merari, their brethren, Ethan, the son of Cushai, and with them their brethren of the second degree, Zechariah, Ben, and Jaaziel, and Shemimroth, and Jael, and Uni, and Eliab, and Benaiah, and Maaseiah, and Mattathiah, and Eliphelel, and Micaiah, and who's the next one? Obed-Edom. Now, Obed-Edom was not a priest. Obed-Edom was not a prophet. For all we know, Obed-Edom was a farmer, or a peasant, or a laborer. And what does he do? When the presence of God has been with him for 30 days, he's been blessed of God. Everything that he had been blessed. His children had been blessed. His home had been blessed. And the ark of God leaves and goes back to the city. What did he do? He went with it. Honey, I don't know what we're going to do. All I know is God's been good to me and I want to be where God is. I want us to be where God is. And so David goes, he sends the Levites and they bring the Ark of the Covenant back. And Obed-Edom goes with them. And David says, hey fellas, we're going to need some singers. Anybody want to sing? Obed-Edom said, I will. I'll sing. God's been good to me. God's been good to my family. I'll sing. Praise God, he's been good to me. I'll sing. Verse 19, so the singers, Heman, Asaph, and Ethan, were appointed to sound with cymbals of brass. And Zechariah, and Aziel, and Shemiramoth, and Jael, and Uni, and Eliab, and Messiah, and Benaiah, and with psalteries on Alamoth, and Mattathiah, and Eliphelel, and Mechaniah, and Obed-Edom, and Jael, and Azariah, with harps on the Sheminith to excel. And I'm paraphrasing and I'm reading into this a little bit. But David said, hey, we're going to need singers, but hey, we're going to need some people to play also. We got anybody that can play the harp? Anybody play an instrument? Obed-Edom says, I will. I will. Why? Because God's been good to me. I've seen the presence of God. I've seen the power of God. I was underneath the blessing of God for 3 months in my home. Things were never like they were before when God was in the house. And he's not where I was before, but I'm going to go where he is. I'll sing. I'll play, Obed-Edom said. I'll play. Verse 22, and Chenani, chief of the Levites, was for song, and he instructed about the song because he was skillful. And Berechiah and Elkanah were doorkeepers for the ark, and Shebaniah and Jehoshaphat and Nethaneel and Amasiah and Zechariah and Benaiah and Eliezer, the priest, did blow with the trumpets before the ark of God. And Obed-Edom and Jehiah were doorkeepers for the ark. We're going to need some people to sing. Anybody want to sing? Obed-Edom said, I will. We're going to need some people to play the instruments so that people can sing. Anybody want to play an instrument? Obed-Edom, I will. God's been good to me. I will. Well, we're also going to need to have some people to keep the doors. Anybody want to be a doorkeeper? Stand at the door. Obed-Edom said, I will. I'll do it. No one else will. I will because I've seen the blessings of God. God's been good to me. I'll be a doorkeeper. God blessed Obed-Edom's home, but we see here that God blessed Obed-Edom's heart because he changed his heart. He made him and he gave him a heart toward God. Now, I am not saying, please do not misunderstand me, I am not saying that service and doing and doing and doing and doing makes us any more spiritual or makes us any more godly. I'm not saying that you have to sign up for everything that there is to do in the church. I'm not saying that at all. This is a principle. This is a real man, a real time, a real thing that happened. Obed-Edom had seen the power and the presence and the blessings of God, and he wanted to do everything that he could to be near his God and to serve his God. He was willing to sing. He was willing to play. He was willing to be a doorkeeper. Let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Let's look at verse number 4. So this choir is put together by the order of David the king. Verse 4, chapter 16, 1 Chronicles. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. What a job. To thank and praise the Lord God. You know that there are creatures in heaven that God created that are around the throne day and night. And what do they do? What do they cry? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Holy, holy. That's what they do day and night forever. Amen. What a job to praise God and to thank God and then to record everything good, everything that's a blessing about the Lord. These people were appointed. Verse 5, Asaph the chief, and next to him, Zechariah, Jael, and Shemiramoth, and Jael, and Mattathiah, and Eliab, and Benaiah, and Obed-Edom. And Jael with psalteries, with harps, but Asaph made a sound with cymbals. Benaiah also with Jehiel, priests with trumpets, continually before the ark of the covenant of God. We're going to need somebody to stay around the ark of God continually. And to praise God and to worship God and to glorify God and to write things down about what God is doing. I need somebody to do that. Who'd be willing to do that? Obed-Edom said, I'll do it. I'll praise God. I'll write down what God's doing. I'll do it. So he was a busy man. He absolutely was a busy man. And again, I'm not trying to say at all that you're supposed to take on everything that the church needs done. I'm not saying that at all. But I believe we ought to be willing to do what we can because God has been so good to us. So we see that God blessed his home. We see that God blessed his heart. He gave himself to the work and the service of God because he loved God and he saw what God could do in his life and in the life of his family. Then lastly, and I'll be finished, not only did God bless his home, when the ark of God came to the house, when the presence of God came to their house, he blessed his home, he blessed his heart, then he blessed his heritage. Let's look at 1 Chronicles chapter 26, please. 1 Chronicles chapter 26. And I love this part. 1 Chronicles chapter 26. Verse number 1. Concerning the divisions of the porters of the Korahites was Meshelemiah, the son of Korah. The sons of Asaph and the sons of Meshelemiah were Zechariah the firstborn, Jediel the second, Zebediah the third, Jathniel the fourth, Elam the fifth, Johanan the sixth, and Anoai the seventh. Verse 4. Moreover, the sons of Obed-Edom were. Now I'm going to stop right there for just a second. Remember, they had experienced the blessings of God in their home for 30 days. Like nothing they'd ever seen before. But in that home was not just Obed-Edom, but his wife and their children. Verse 4, moreover, the sons of Obed-Edom were Shemaiah, the firstborn, Jehozabad, the second, Joah, the third, Sachar, the fourth, and Nethaneel, the fifth, Amiel, the sixth, Issachar, the seventh, Pilthai, the eighth, for God blessed him. Also, unto Shimei, his son, were sons born, that ruled throughout the house of their father, for they were mighty men of valor. The sons of Shemaiah, Othni, and Rephael, and Obed, Elzabad, whose brethren were strong men, Elihu, and Semachiah, all these of the sons of Obed-Edom, they and their sons and their brethren, able men for strength for the service, were 62 of Obed-Edom. Not only did God bless his home for 30 days. Not only did God bless his heart for 30 years, it looks like. It looks like from 1 Chronicles chapter 15 and 16 to 1 Chronicles chapter 26, there is an expanse of maybe 30 years. That God blessed his heart, his service, his hands in the service of God. God blessed him. But then he blessed his heritage. And I'd like to give a better illustration. I won't take the time to do so. But I can't imagine that Obed-Edom, when he was serving God, when he was singing, when he was playing the harp, when he was recording and praising God, and when he was keeping the door at the house of God. Come on in. I'm excited about the services today. Glad to see you today. I know our pastor's got a good message for us today. Glad that you're here. Excited for you to be here. While he was doing all those things, there was at least 8 little sets of eyes watching him. He had 8 sons. Lays them out for us. And I know how these children are with their daddy. Whatever daddy's doing, they want to be involved in. And I can't imagine that Obed-Edom just, so no. You stay at home. You stay back over there. Let me go serve God on my own. I don't believe that happened. I believe those kids saw Obed-Edom working for God, loving God, serving God. He took him with him. We need some singers. I'll sing. Come on, we're going to go sing. We're going to go sing for God. All right, we need somebody to play an instrument. I'll try. I'll do it. Come on, we're going to go learn to play an instrument. And we're doing it for God, by the way. You remember how good God was to us? Do you remember how good God was to us? Yeah, Daddy. I remember. Well, we're going to serve God. And I'm not just going to do it alone. Come on, let's serve God. You're going to learn to play too. The Bible doesn't tell us that, but can't you imagine that's probably what he did? He loved God, served God. That's a natural thing. I need somebody to praise the Lord. Come on, kids, we're going to praise the Lord. Let's praise God. He's been so good to us. This is how you open a door. You see somebody coming? I'm a doorkeeper. This is how you do it, son. This is how you do it. For 30 years, maybe more, he raised those kids in the service of God. Then we get down here. All these, in verse number 8, the sons of Obed-Edom, they and their sons and their brethren, able men for strength for the service. Who taught them that? Daddy did. Now I'm sure Mama had a lot to do with it too. But they were trained in the service of God. This is what we do. Because God has been good to us, this is what we're going to do. We're going to give our lives to God. Does that mean that everybody goes into full-time service? Does not mean that at all. You might not be called to that. Obed-Edom wasn't a preacher. He wasn't a prophet. He was just a good church member willing to do what he could and to lead his family in the things of God. And the Bible tells us there at the end, able men for strength for the service, that's the service of God, were 62 of Obed-Edom. 62 descendants were involved and part of the service of God because Obed-Edom had seen the blessings of God in his home and made a decision, I'm going to be where God is. And I'm going to live for Him and I'm going to serve Him. And not only that, I'm going to teach my children to do so also. Amen. 62 able, that's just the men. Amen. 62 able men for strength of the service. And probably double that maybe altogether. What a blessing. God blessed his home and then God blessed his heart. And because he gave his heart to God, God blessed his heritage. God can do things for us and for our families that we couldn't even imagine if we'll just give God our heart. Doesn't mean we have to do everything. We have to be at the church every day of the week. We have to be involved in everything that's going on. But if we'll give God our heart, He'll show us what we can do. If we'll just be willing. And He will get the glory. He always will get the glory. Obed-Edom. When God came home that day, when God came to their home that day, wow, what a difference. And then a generation later, there's dozens of them serving God. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you, God, for this time, and Lord, for your word, and for this example to us, God. And Lord, I know the people here at Northwood Baptist Church are servants. God, I know that all these folks love you and they have seen the blessings of God upon their lives and upon their families. And I know, God, that they have given themselves to you. But Father, I just ask that you'd help and remind us, God, that, Lord, you have been good and that we ought to be willing, God, when we have an opportunity and an ability, God, to give it to you, that you would be praised. And not only that, but God, that we would teach those that are coming after us the service of God. We thank you and we praise you and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.